You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 14. The title of this morning's message is Intellectualism and the Power of God. So what we're going to do is we're going to fast forward some of the message. We would encourage you to hop onto the first session so that we can have a little bit of more continuity on the theme and the concept. At 5:30, am I saying it right?
Wow, that's at
5:30, we'll be back and we'll be preaching and ministering on the subject, Dimensions of Glory. And so you don't want to miss that one. So I'm going for 31 minutes and 31 seconds starting from now. And the clock starts now. Matthew 24, verse 14. Let's say this one and read it together on the count of three. Three. And this gospel. Now notice the terminology there. Shall be preached in all the world, which is systems, not the earth. The earth is the Lord's, that's a planet. The world are systems. So the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the systems for a witness to all nations. That's mishpachor, people groups and cultures. Then shall the end come. And so every individual here, in any expression you are in, you must preach the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 1, chapter 1 of the book of Acts, Luke is writing to his professor in his second thesis or doctorate application. He was a medical doctor, but now he's studying the philosophical works of the Greek masters from Archimedes, Socrates, and so on, Plato. And he says, I made my former treatise in my thesis for my doctorate to you of how all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So the way the kingdom of God works is you do it, then you teach what you've just done. The modern church of intellectualism, what they do is they teach something and they don't do jack. I hope that's not a bad word here. The former treatise of what he began to both do, both, they've got to work together. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. So it's doing and teaching must work together. Until the day that he was taken up after through the Holy Ghost began. This clock is not cooperating. It must be a Manchester United supporter. Verse 2, until the day he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And he showed himself alive. He showed himself alive. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs, which Luke doesn't get into what those infallible proofs are or were. Being seen of them for 40 days and 40 nights. I just flew over England. I'm already beginning to act like y'all. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Father, we pray a blessing on this word in Jesus' name. Amen. So nothing happens in the earth or in the kingdom of God until it is spoken. The difference between on the sixth day, the difference between the morning of creation on the sixth day, were life forms in the earth, animals, and their expressions. In the afternoon of the sixth day, God then made man in his image and after his likeness. The afternoon creation is God's speaking being. He made man in his image after his likeness, and he gave mankind the power to speak things that are not as though they already were. And so in your speaking, you have to be cognizant that whatever you say, both positive or negative, is always prophetic. Always prophetic. You can prophesy in the negative, choose to prophesy in the positive. Say something nice about the person next to you. Not now, say that for later. And so what you have to understand is that every single person in the room is gifted. We are living stones. Everyone is a stone, but we then are touched by his power to become a living stone. Jesus said, when they said to him, tell these people to shut up and stop worshiping you and so on. And Jesus said, if these people don't praise me, these stones will get up and start praising me. And so if a dead stone has the ability to praise God, how much more a living stone? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be stone-hearted. Be a living stone. Amen. Amen. And so God anoints gifts. You are gifted, but your gift doesn't mean anything until God anoints your gift. And so Jesus said in 4:18 of the book of Luke, in his first thesis, when he's introducing himself to his village and to the world, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, which is Isaiah 61, because he has anointed me. And then he talks about five different anointings, each one of them, which is a fivefold ministry gift. To preach the gospel to the poor, which is an apostolic mandate. The apostolic gift must preach the gospel to anything that is poor, anything that is in poverty. And so even though Jesus was God in the flesh, the Son of God made manifest in the flesh, his gifts still had to be anointed. And that anointing was released when he submitted himself to his older cousin by being immersed into his mandate and mission. So Jesus' baptism was a baptism to fulfill righteousness, which is God's standard. He was immersed, fully convinced and fully covered that from now, this is my beloved son. His time has come and his gift is now anointed and touched. Take your right hand, put it on your head, say, anoint my gift. Say, anoint my gift. You as the boy, say, anoint my gifts. That's more better. And so in the message of the kingdom, if you'll allow me to build my case, the book of Matthew, who was a tax collector, an accountant, a man with numbers, when he builds the genealogy of Jesus, he builds it with numbers, 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. Because he's using his accounting brain calculatively to show that in time, things will happen at a given time. And so if nothing's happening for you, just stay where you are. Don't move. Stay where you are, because in time, that window and that door will open. You don't want the door and the window to open and you're not there. Because you changed teams, or you changed sides, or you changed views, you changed opinions, over something over your head. Just stay where you is, because the door is going to open. Stay where you is, because the door is going to open. I discovered that Jehovah Jireh is the same all over the world. If he can bless me here, he can bless me there. When you are in God's perfect will and your gift is anointed, here comes everything associated with the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God then in Matthew is preached in three discourses. The first one, when Jesus starts in Matthew chapter number 5, he starts with the beautiful attitudes or the beatitudes, which basically he is now saying that the kingdom of God in introducing it has to be approached with a certain attitude. And he says in one of them, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So righteousness there is not a holiness standard. Righteousness is God's standard in the earth at a given moment. And so when Martin Luther quotes Romans and he says, Paul says in 1:18 and 19 of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. And then he says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And so in righteousness, every dimension, every era, there is a standard by which God expects people to live by. And so, without taking too many rabbit trails, Noah, God gave him a standard which he presented for 120 years. He presented God's standard. And only 8 people, including himself, were in the ark because nobody believed Noah's standard. Abraham had a standard. Isaac had a standard. Jacob had a standard. Esau could not meet that standard and became an outcast until he became a man and grew up in his mind. And when he reached a certain standard, the blessing of God began to flow in his life. So being a Christian is one thing, accepting the Lord is one thing, but there is a standard by which we are expected to attain so that the blessing of God in an era can be released. Amen. And so here we are going to see Jesus teaching in the first discourse the attitudes of the kingdom, which is an introduction to his message. In chapter number 13 of the book of Matthew, Jesus then introduces or interprets the kingdom with 7 parables. Stay with me. It's going to get gooder as we go. I'm going to try to make it gooder and gooder as we go. So in Matthew 13, he tells 7 parables. Each parable for a day of the week, but also each parable for each church age that's coming in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3. I'll mention that as we go. And then in the last discourse, which is Matthew 24 and 25, he talks about the kingdom of God and its application. So you start in one place, you learn about it. In the second place, you write the exam to see if you've understood what you've learned. And then the third application, you have to walk out to prove that what you learn in class. So you don't want somebody to open your head just because they want to be a brain surgeon. They have to start over here, and then they have to start working on some sort of plastic anatomy before they might get a corpse or two from a mortuary to dissect and. They have to understand anatomy. The kingdom of God is the same way. It is migratory. You go from faith to faith, from level to level, from glory to glory, from milk to meat, from a baby to an adult. You have to move, and we're just sick of dealing with children in the body of Christ. Anyway, I just had a moment. And so a gift then must be anointed. So the first parable is the parable of the sower sowing a seed. Everything in God's kingdom, everything in the world begins with a seed. Everything is in seed form. Whether it's a vision, an idea, a human being, everything you see starts with a seed. It is what I call the 1:11 principle, Genesis 1 verse 11. Deuteronomy 1 verse 11 is a duplication of 1:11 of Genesis. The Lord God bless you and put a blessing of 1,000 times more on your life. So 1:11s throughout the scripture are pretty phenomenal. But 1:11, he says, every tree will produce fruit whose seed is in itself to produce after its kind. So there are many laws there. One of the laws there is what is called the law of kinds. You produce after your kind. And so what is so refreshing about this incredible church and its multilateral and multi-layered vision and the way it's been walked out is that all kinds of things are being produced and replicated. And so there'll never be, at any given moment, a church like this can have four seasons in it at the same time. You can be in a sowing season, you can be in a harvest season, you can be in a spring and autumn, all at the same time. So if nothing's gelling in the women's ministry, no sweat. No worry, because it could be winter in the women's ministry, but summer in the men's ministry. Because a ministry of this magnitude that is multi-layered and understands that at some point, when it's cold in the northern hemisphere, it's warm in the southern hemisphere. Amen. And so I don't like the cold. I gotta have it hot. Some like it cold, some like it in the pot, 3 days old. That's Chi-Chi, she can eat leftovers. And so even in the heat, I sleep under a duvet, I sleep covered, I don't like the cold. Turn to your neighbor, say he doesn't like the cold. I don't do air conditioner, I don't like the cold. Smile at me. That's better, I don't like cold people. Amen. Amen, good to know you use Sensodyne. And so it's important to understand that seasons and harvests in a ministry that's so diverse, you can experience all of those things at the same time. The leadership has to be the constant to monitor which is which in a particular season. Everything begins with a seed, with a result of producing a harvest. The harvest is designed not just for food. The harvest is designed for seed so that that seed can influence an entire world. And so when you look at that little story of Johnny Appleseed who planted an apple from a seed and filled an entire series of orchards with apples. So when you get an apple, they say it keeps the doctor away. But from one apple, you can have apple juice, apple cider, apple sauce, apple pie. You don't just have to eat it. You can take what one seed produces and diversify an entire industry from that. But that apple is not just limited to the produce of what it does. That apple then can produce a transport organization where you need trucks to move those apples. And on and on and on we go. So a church of this level and this magnitude, or wherever you're watching, the kingdom of God in his own expression will touch you and bless you in every way. I really got to move on. And so the second parable, he talks about a man that sowed a seed. And the Bible says, when men slept, an enemy sowed tares. The problem with us as believers, we get a word and then we don't activate it. We sleep on that word. Don't sleep on the word, because when you sleep on a word, the enemy will sow a seed, and growing up, the wheat and the tares look the same. And the apostle is told, do not pull out the tare. Let them grow together. The harvest will determine who's who and what's what. And so the test and the trial of life will prove whether you are a Christian or not. It's not when or if you are going to be tried and tested. It's inevitably coming. The test is coming in your life. You cannot go to the next level without being tested. The next level will not be insulted by you desiring to come to it. If you want to go to university, you have to have so many A levels. I think Zimbabwe is the same. And so, first year university, if you don't qualify with 4 A levels in our country, you can't have access to that level. And that level expects you to attain 4 A levels. And if you just have an expectation or an entitlement approach, you will have insulted a level that is welcoming you. And the reason many people can never get to the next level is because you don't pass the test to qualify for that next level. I know you can drive, but for you to drive on English British roads, you have to go for a road test to be licensed to drive on those roads. I know you can drive. I saw your little Fiat car. It's so cute. But the fact that you drive that doesn't make you, doesn't qualify you to drive a massive truck carrying produce all the way from Southampton all the way to Scotland. The fact that you can drive a truck doesn't qualify you to drive a bus with passengers in it. There are different classes which enable you, once you've done the test, to qualify to be in a certain lane. And the kingdom of God is no different. If you want to be with me, you got to gel in the same key. And so as we go, Jesus is taking his disciples level by level by level. And in the 7 parables he tells in Matthew chapter number 13, the parable of the mustard seeds, he said, even though it's a tiny little seed, once you take that mustard seed and you plant it, it grows into an experience. Mark says the birds of the air lodge under it. Luke says the birds of the air lodge in it. The birds of the air are demonic spirits. So there is a place where we can rise so high and the demonic spirits are under us, but there are certain environments that we're in where we cohabit with these things there. They are there, we have to deal with it. We'll face them in Laodicea, we'll face them in Macedonia, we'll face them in Lystra, yada, 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 because they are here and they are enforcing their rights. And so when he talks about the mustard seed, mustard is an influencing agent. So I'm a steak guy, simple steak guy, curry rice maybe, but a simple steak and potatoes guy. And every now and then I'll put a dash of mustard alongside. I don't know whether it's French mustard or English mustard that's better. English mustard? Parlez-vous français? And so what mustard does is mustard changes the influence of what's on your plate. And so what he's saying here, the kingdom of God, a little bit of it in an environment enabled can actually change the taste of drug dealers, of human traffickers. Just a little bit. It doesn't take too much. It's like salt. You don't take a pound of salt to a pound of meat. It's just a little bit of salt to change. That's how the kingdom of God functions. Just a little bit, it changes everything. Just a little offering makes you a millionaire. Just a little prayer will open doors for you. Just a little bit of praise and worship will cause the windows of heaven to be opened over your life. Just a little bit of agreement and unity When people work together in unity, God is pleased and things begin to shake in your life. Give someone a high five and say, we in the kingdom together. Come on, give them a high five. Say, we in the kingdom together. Amen, amen, amen. The next one is a woman took leaven and put them in three measures. The courtyard, the holy place, and the holiest of holies. The thing about leaven or yeast, it doesn't make noise when it's functioning. My mom used to make bread when my dad was on the railways in the middle of the bush. And so every second day she'd make bread. And so the night before she'd prepare the yeast and put it in the dough. And the next morning that plain flour will have swollen and become a huge lump. At night when the yeast is working, you don't hear the yeast screaming and shouting and saying, we're taking over, we're taking over, we're in the neighborhood. The yeast just slowly works its influence. And before the flour knows it, it's under the influence of a silent mechanism in your life. Baby, make a difference. Make a difference. Don't make noise. Make a difference. Show up and show out. All the women say amen. So put your yeast in your job. Put your yeast around your environment. Put your yeast in your family. Put your yeast in Geneva. Put your niece in Chester. Put your yeast in Sheffield. Put your yeast in Lagos, Nigeria. Put your yeast in Pakistan. Why not have sushi and put your yeast in Japan? I feel like having a Chinese in Beijing. Put your yeast in Beijing. Give someone a high five and say, the kingdom of God is influencing your life. Can I preach like I feel it happening now? Number five, the kingdom of God is like a treasure in a field. A whole treasure in a field. If you discover the treasure in the field, don't go for the treasure, buy the field. Because if you get the treasure alone, somebody will own that field. I always tell people, if you don't know how to fish, don't teach me how to fish alone. Because if you teach me how to fish, someone might own the pond and put up a sign, no fishing up in here. Don't teach me how to fish. Show me how I can own the pond. Because if I can own the pond, I can fish at midnight. I can fish with no clothes on. I can fish wearing my Liverpool shirt. Can I preach to someone here? Amen. Don't teach me how to fish. Show me how to own the pond. Shout, I'm a pond owner. I've got all kinds of fish in my pond. My net is filling up with all kinds of gifts. Give a man a high five and say, own the pond, baby. If it's your husband, tell him to own the pond. You want to go to Singapore. You want to go to Jakarta. You got to go to Kuala Lumpur. It's not enough for you just to go to Southampton on a holiday or to Bristol. I want to go somewhere. Tell that husband, say, I want to go somewhere. Yeah, baby. Yeah. And number six, a pearl of great price. A pearl is revelation knowledge. When you find a piece of revelation knowledge, the Bible says the man sold all that he had for a pearl of great price. What price are you willing to pay for revelation knowledge? The Apostle Paul said in 12, verse 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the spirit or out of the spirit, such a man was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, lest I be exalted above measure due to the revelations in my life. There was given me a thorn in the flesh, and I asked the Lord three times, one for each of the heavens he approached. He went to the first heaven and the throne kicked it up to the next heaven. He went to the second heaven, it kicked it up to the third heaven. And the third heaven kicked it all the way back to the throne of grace and said, you need this thorn in the flesh for the revelation knowledge. But what I'm going to give you is grace, which is enabling power. His grace is sufficient for me. If God would give me grace, the kingdom of God will function in my life. I feel like John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Thank God for his grace, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God in your life. Give someone a high five. Say, it's grace, baby. Shout, it's grace. It's grace. It's grace in the kingdom of God. And the last parable is the parable of the massive net, where all kinds of fish are caught. And then the 1352 principle, the 1352 principle, Matthew 1352. No individual that is worthy of the kingdom will say the old is, the new is better, will always say the old is better. And so this is my recommendation. If you want to introduce something new, do something old first. Because new things produce anger. So if you want to teach the church a new song, start with one everybody knows. Then you teach the new song. Now, because they don't know the words, they don't know the tune, and they get a bit agitated, you then go back to an old song and calm all of the man you support is down. I pray that God would give you wisdom for the harvest in your life. You're standing with me and you're touching your screen where you are. Everybody's standing with me. And over the world, in all the campuses, you're touching your phone, your television screen. You're touching your altar. As the kingdom of God comes into fullness in your life. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, the Matthew 6 verse 9 version. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. No, it doesn't say forever and ever. You guys are good Catholics. It says forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.